Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
I don't believe, I know that God's going to move tonight. Really know that sense that. I got a message that I want to speak. I was praying into this week. God, what do you have? What do you want to say? And honestly, when it came to pre-service prayer meeting, it made sense that this was what God was wanting to do, what God was wanting to say. And so that's really awesome. And kudos to your church family who know how to press into the prophetic and draw from heaven, who know that they possess and have that gift to bring it in, that it can be released. We know that when we prophesy, as was being prayed in the prayer meeting this evening, that the principalities, the things in the unseen world are put on notice, that something's going to shift in people's hearts. So I really, really believe it. And I hope you would join in faith with me tonight. And so what we're going to do is I'm just going to bring a teaching, but the teaching is obviously there that it would deposit in our minds and in our hearts. But I pray that the purpose of this teaching tonight, like Paul said, that he wouldn't just come with knowledge, but with a demonstration of power. And I believe tonight that this would actually, the whole purpose is that we would experience freedom tonight, that we would experience wholeness. I believe there's going to be some deliverance tonight. Could get messy, and that's all right. We don't mind a bit of Holy Spirit chaos. And I was here only a few weeks ago when it just let loose. And so I know you guys are hungry for that. And so are you ready? You ready for that? What I also want to encourage you with, church, as I was just in worship tonight and in the prayer meeting, just want to encourage you that there's a maturity here in this house to know that God's word is the truth. And I know that that's a 101 statement, but who knows that takes a long time to actually come to that point where it's like, I can say that, but I believe that in my heart, that I build my life upon that truth. And there's a maturity and there's an understanding in this house that when the word goes forth, that it's actually not about a man, but it's about, or a woman, but about drawing from what God is saying. And I sense in this house that there's this ability to actually look past man and actually see what God is saying. And obviously the chosen vessel is people, but there's a maturity in this house to actually go, just to see past it. Not that you push man aside, but you're like, okay, God, I sense that. I receive that. And tonight, I just believe as we go into the word this evening, I know we've many people pray it, but I truly pray tonight that you wouldn't hear me. I really pray that you would hear God tonight and what he's saying and what it means to you corporately, but also what it means to you individually tonight in Jesus' name. So you ready? Let's do some teaching and then let's, he's already here, but we'll welcome him back and he'll just do his thing in Jesus' name. It'll be great. Let's give a hand to our worship team. Have a seat. So good. So what we're going to do is we're going to be unpacking Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And if this is your first time to church ever, hello. It's so great to have you here this evening, and I hope you've already experienced and encountered the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And I say that to say, if you're not familiar with what a book of Proverbs is or even what a proverb is a short but powerful statement that can really sum up whole chapters and concepts and ideas of the Bible just in one sentence. What can sometimes be complex and what can sometimes take us a while to chew on and let it become revelation? Proverbs can sum it up in a whole sentence. And so we're going to unpack one of these proverbs tonight. And the book of Proverbs is full of proverbs. A kind of a word that we would use in today's day and age is a quote. It's just full of quotes of the truth of God. And so we're going to spend some time tonight unpacking Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23. And it says this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows through it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're in this place tonight. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here. And we thank you that tonight, Jesus, we worship a Lord and Savior that left the cross and left the grave. We thank you that all authority in heaven was given to Jesus, and he declared to us to go and make disciples in that name and in that authority. We thank you that as the message goes, as the truth of the gospel goes, Father, we thank you that there are new tongues. We thank you that there are deliverances. We thank you that when we lay our hands on people, they will be healed in Jesus' name. And God, I pray tonight, as your word goes forth, I pray that it would pierce between joint and marrow tonight, God, that it would fill our hearts. And Lord, yes, of course, it would be revelation and it would be knowledge, but God, I pray that it would become active in our lives and that we would encounter the knowledge, that we would encounter the revelation of your word in this place this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight I'm going to be speaking on the subject, winning your most vital battle. Winning your most vital battle. And so the proverb starts off with this, above all else. Now, this is important because a proverb doesn't have a lot to work with. It's got a sentence or two. And so each word means something. It's got some weight to it. And so Solomon, King Solomon, who was given this gift of wisdom, who wrote the book of Proverbs, pens this to paper and he says, above all else. It's kind of like that classic preacher moment where the preacher's like, if you've heard nothing else tonight, if there's nothing else, if you've just, it's all good, grace. If you just didn't hear anything tonight, hear this one thing this evening. You know, you've been in that service and the preacher's been preaching for an hour and a half and you're like, yeah, I didn't hear nothing, mate. It's just been going on and on and on. That's kind of what Solomon is saying here. It's almost like, really, to be honest, what he's actually saying, if you don't do this or if you can't grasp this, don't bother with any other proverb. Above all else. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. And so to unlock the revelation that's actually inside of this parable, what we need to do is we need to dive deeper into what the words guard and what the words heart mean in this passage. Firstly, the heart. When Solomon wrote this word heart, he wrote the word leb, which is kind of pronounced lev, and it's up there on the screen. And he wrote this word leb in Hebrew, and he was writing to an ancient Israelite people and understanding. And so when he wrote that, they would know what it meant behind that as well. And so we want to kind of unpack that. Because this word leb, it actually has many different meanings. It has four meanings that I want to unpack this evening, and it has many layers. To the ancient Israelite, the heart wasn't just an organ. It wasn't just, they didn't really even have an understanding of that. We live in the 21st century with amazing advancements in science, and we know the human body better than we ever have. But to the ancient Israelite, it was just this weird squishy thing that was inside of people's bodies. And they knew that if you stabbed that weird squishy thing, sorry to get real graphic tonight, that life would cease. You know, they lived in a culture of war and all of that sort of stuff. But they knew that it was something deeper as well. And this word communicated many different things. And they understood that lev, that heart, was the center of life for the ancient Israelite. It was the center of life. Let me explain. Firstly, they understood it to be the center or the generator of physical life. They understood that the heart was the generator of physical life. And as I was kind of describing just before, doesn't really take a genius to work that out, because if you remove that thing, life kind of ceases to exist. So they understood physically that it was a generator, that it literally pumped life into people's bodies. And so they actually didn't have this understanding for what that kind of really, how that operated fully, but they wrote that down anyway and understood that it had this physical generator to it. Secondly, they understood that it was the center of our thoughts, the center of our thoughts. Now, you might be hearing that now and thinking, well, that's not right. And you're right. Through the discovery of science, we understand that thoughts more than likely actually come up from upstairs in our brain through chemicals and all the different connections. And I'm not going to even try and attempt to explain that fully. But you and I both know it more kind of happens upstairs. But the ancient Israelite didn't know that, didn't understand that. In fact, that actually really didn't even have a word for the word brain. But to them, the brain was the heart and the heart was the brain. that thoughts came from the heart, that it didn't come from upstairs, it actually came from our heart. And so to the ancient Israelite, how you would know, how you would understand, how you would obtain and store wisdom, the place where you stored memories, the place that you would discern from, was not up here how we understand. It was actually here in the heart. Thirdly, they understood this word lev, the word heart, to be the center of our emotions, the center of our emotions. And again, it's not how we think and know today, but the heart for them was where you felt. It was where you felt joy. It's where you felt happiness. It's the place where you feel excitement and peace, but also the other side of the coin, where the place where we feel fear, or the place of depression, the place of sadness. And so again, to the ancient Israelite, it wasn't happening chemically upstairs. It was happening here in the heart. That's the conclusion that they came to, that that's where thoughts and emotions were drawn from. And so it goes on to say firstly, physically, they understood that it was the thing that generated life. Secondly, they understood it to be the place where thoughts were thought and stored and obtained. They also believed that it was where our emotions came from. And that then led them to believe that it was the place where our desires or choices came out of. You with me? So you think a thought, you put emotion to that thought, and then from that emotion, you make a choice, or it becomes a desire. And both good and bad, that was the place where that generated from. There was a thought that maybe I should get this. And it was like, oh yes, I should get that. And the emotions would start going. And then from that place, from thought and emotion, how much do you and I know that that's kind of where choices in our life begin to actually operate? Again, not a psychologist, just a Bible dude, just a nerd on this word lev, just unpacking lev here tonight. And so desires, both good and bad, the ancient Israelite would believe that that was where it would come from. And so when we read this verse, that's the heart that we're commanded to guard. That we're commanded to guard our thoughts, our emotions, and our desires. You with me? You tracking with me? It goes on with that. We're going to unpack that word guard. And don't worry, it's not a four-part series and what it means. It's just a quick little one. The Hebrew word is nasa, and it means to guard, to keep, in a war sense, to keep, to watch, kind of like the last watch of the night, and to preserve from danger. And so when you read this definition of this word that's used in this verse, you kind of get this picture of a guard keeping watch over his kingdom, or the nation that he's a part of, to make sure that nothing comes in that shouldn't come in. And if you can see on the screen tonight, that's why I've used this imagery. I'm a visual learner, so that's why I did that. And I'm here to trick all the visual learners here tonight, this evening, that we would guard our hearts, that we would be people who keep watch over our thoughts, that we'd be people who keep watch over our emotions, we'd be people who keep watch over our desires. And so now with that understanding, let's read the verse again. Above all else, listen, pay attention. This is what Solomon's trying to say. Guard, protect, keep, watch, and preserve from danger your heart, your thoughts, your emotions, and your desires. And you can see why this last bit is in this verse now. For everything that you do flows from it, the heart. It flows from the heart. Can you see where we're going, where we're tracking this evening? Why do you need to guard this heart? Well, how much more do you and I know that that our heart is broken, that our heart needs help, that it's actually flawed, that it can't just naturally think good. In fact, it actually wants to naturally think bad. Ephesians 2 teaches us that we are children of wrath, that's our natural default, that we lean into the flesh more than what we would like to care to admit, that when we were born into sin. That and only when Jesus comes into our life and comes into our heart that we are actually able to know true goodness and know what is that and go on that journey of sanctification. That's the journey, discipleship, I like to call it. That journey of knowing and getting to know God and Him actually changing your heart and changing your life. But before that, the default is evil. The default is flesh. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and it's desperately sick. Who can understand it? That's why we need to guard this heart, because no matter how much we try and no matter how much we long, our heart will go the opposite way that we actually want it to go. Paul actually describes that. I do the thing that I don't want to do. And even though Paul is a living legend in the story of the Bible, in the story of God restoring humanity, even he would say, someone who boasted that he prayed more than anyone, even he would say, I still do the thing that I don't want to do. And that's because we need to guard this heart. We need to guard our thoughts, guard our emotions, and of course, guard our choices. And you know, this verse in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things, it's desperately sick. You know, I've heard people quote this verse and literally say, never trust your heart. Never trust your heart. And I think there's a balance to that, but I want to challenge that word never. Because if you can never trust your heart, that would mean that Jesus can never heal that heart, that Jesus can never restore that heart. And it's normally people who are mocking people, and it's church people being silly, but people saying, oh, you know, that preacher said, to trust, you know, I felt it in my heart, but the Bible says that you can't trust your heart because it's desperately sick and it's wicked. But did Jesus come to die and leave a cross and leave a tomb just to leave us with a broken heart? No, he came to heal and restore that heart. And I believe, and I have a hope that in this life, the heart can be healed. I believe that when I say the heart, I believe our thoughts, I believe our emotions, and I believe our choices can be redeemed by the good work of Jesus in our life. Of course, through discipline, through us actually doing the work. You know, when you get a membership for a gym, it doesn't make you fit. You've actually got to go do the work. And then many of us laughing because we've given thousands of dollars away to gyms. And we're like, why did nothing work? Because you didn't go to the gym. And it's like sometimes we think if I come to church, something's going to change. And of course, we believe in the suddenly. We believe in the miraculous, but we've actually got to do the work. We've actually got to get on the treadmill of reading God's word. We've actually got to get on the marathon run of prayer. We've actually got to do the work. And we believe in the miraculous. But here, I'm trying to encourage you tonight that people have forgotten their last line of that verse. Who can understand it? That Jeremiah verse. Who can understand it? God can. It's a rhetorical question. God understands the heart. He made the heart. And sin has corrupted that heart, but God understands it. And I believe in Jesus' name that God can renew it. I believe in Jesus' name it can be restored. If you want to clap or if you want to praise the Lord, let him know that it can be revived. I know this church has a hunger for revival, and we want to see that. We need a revival first in our hearts. If we want to carry revival, if we want to bring something to someone else, we need to bring revived hearts. And I know, and I don't want to deplete hope, but we will never see the fullness of our heart restored in this life. But that doesn't mean we commit to the journey of restoring our heart. The fullness of restoration will be when we're on that day in heaven, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But in this life, the call is to go out into all the world and make disciples. But we can't make disciples if we don't carry revelation. If we don't carry wholeness and healing and restoration. And so while I understand, yes, the heart is sick and it's desperately wicked, I also understand there's an empty cross. I understand there's an empty grave. And Jesus didn't come just to leave us in a mess. He came and he sent the Holy Spirit that we would have life and life to the full in Jesus' name. What this proverb is actually trying to tell us, and it doesn't specifically say it, but what it leads us to believe is that a well-kept heart will lead to a positive outcome. The warning, it's a verse of warning. Guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. And so basically, we can actually kind of see that the thing that the undertone under there, reading between the lines, that, okay, if we heed that warning, that if a heart is kept, that if a heart is guarded, it will lead to positive outcomes in our life. But also that the reverse is true, that if we don't guard our heart, if we don't guard our thoughts, if we don't guard our emotions, and if we don't guard our desires, it will lead to negative outcomes in our life. And so can you see tonight, church, that this is your most vital battle? Because everything that you do flows from here. Even your decision to pursue Jesus flows from here. It flows from that Hebrew understanding of my thoughts, my emotions, and my desires. You know, I love what Pastor Corey says. You had as much as God as what you wanted yesterday, desire. And it comes down to a thought decision that I'm going to block out time to spend time with God. And it becomes not just about knowing knowledge, but it becomes about falling in love with Jesus. It comes back to a healed and restored heart in Jesus' name. So tonight, I just want to unpack how we can do that. Is that all right? If the heart needs help, we want some practical help out how to make that happen. And so here we go. How do we do this? This proverb is a warning. It doesn't really tell us how to do it, but there's actually this incredible conversation that Jesus has with the Pharisees. And as normal, he's telling them off. And it says this in Matthew 12, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. There's three real key practicals that we're going to draw out from this passage. The first one is this. How do we guard our heart? We need to guard what comes in. We need to guard what comes in. Anyone ever watch that show, Border Security? Anyone with me? Yeah, right. Throwback. Amazing, right? It's now on the rerun train. It's not prime time anymore. It's like when you're sick and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it's like Ready, Steady, Cook. And then it's like Border Security. It's like, yeah, boy, love Border Security. Well, when I was a kid, it was a new show. It was like, oh man, this is amazing. And I was all about it. I was like getting an inside look into what goes on behind the scenes. I was like, this is amazing. This is so good. And these border security guys, they're there. And this was happening before the show happened. These guys have been defending and protecting many nations across the world. And basically the premise of the show is you get to look into what border security guards do day in and day out on the borders of nations and countries and all that sort of stuff. And these guys, they have this amazing ability because they've been trained to look out for things, look out for nervousness, even though on the front, it's kind of like they got like a flat face. Look out for the way people are walking. Like maybe someone's walking like this and it's like, there might be something stored on that body, you know, like they're trained in these things. It's like, what's going on? And it was the way that person looked away. They're trained. They know how to discern. They know how to decipher whether they might not physically see, but they can tell. You see where I'm going with this? We need to be those border guards of our heart. And here's the revelation that we need to understand. Not everything that lands or arrives at the doorstep of our heart is positive. Not everything that arrives. We understand that with the show, that people come and go and they're flying and flying out. But the border guards know that they have this perception. Not every person that walks through these doors is what they're trained to do. Thank you. We thank them. We're glad for them. But not everything that arrives on Australia's doorstep is actually right. That we can't just have open country. We need to make sure that things are safe for our community. But when it comes to our heart, we need to have that same attitude. That not everything that we're hit with, that not everything that comes our way should just be let into our hearts, let into our thoughts, let into our emotions, and therefore instructing our desires. We need to have a filter. We need to have a filter and actually watch what comes into our hearts. We've got to ask this question. If I let this in, will this improve my thought life? Will this improve my emotional life? Will this improve my decision-making life? Will it improve or will it bring destruction? Will it actually cause me to go not the way that God actually wants me to go? And it's clear in the verse that we just read before, make a tree good and make a heart good and it'll be good. Simple addition, simple maths. Make a tree bad and it will be bad. And we know that in nature, if you want to make a tree good, you got to water it, you got to put good soil on it, you got to make sure it has enough of the sun. And it's the same for us. We need the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need the Word. We need the sun to touch our hearts, to reveal to us what should and shouldn't be allowed in our hearts so that it doesn't take residence in our life. You know, these border guards, they have many tools at their disposal to be able to do their job. They have machines that pick up substances. They have x-ray things that can look through baggage without them having to touch it. They have these cute little sniffer dogs that can kind of walk around and like, and it's just amazing how they're able to sniff just so many amazing things. It's a funny word to say in church, sniff. So like they have all these tools. But here's the thing, we have a tool as well. And it's actually been prophesied so many times tonight. We have the Word of God. And in Hebrews chapter 4, it says this, for the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God is our tool to help us know what we should and shouldn't let into our heart and into our life. Galatians 5 is a chapter all about freedom. And Paul is pleading to the Galatians, don't give up the freedom that you received in Christ. There were some people who were trying to put law, some people were trying to put religion, old covenant on new covenant believers. And Paul's like, hey, we've moved past that. Jesus has fulfilled that aspect of the law. He's fulfilled it. Don't put on, the passage says, don't put on a yoke of slavery again, but walk in the freedom of Christ. And then it begins to tell us what freedom in Christ looks like, and it lists the fruits of the flesh. And then it lists that list that we all know off by heart, the fruits of the Spirit. And so as we read that, as we discern that, we can know that if anything is not the fruits of the Spirit, it probably shouldn't be let into our hearts. That if it's not going to produce good fruits in our life, we need to not allow that into our heart. But more than those verses, I love this one, Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, as Paul has just encouraged people to pray, he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And so for our thoughts, our emotions, and our choices, we must put a guard up. We must put a filter up. It's actually the word of God. Where's my Bible? Here, let me just demonstrate this. This needs to sit here. And when a thought comes, and it's not just you, when ideas come your way from others, when a desire comes from yourself or from other people, when emotions begin to rise up because of what's happening in the room, the atmosphere that you're in, or even just within yourself, let it run through the filter of the Word of God. But it can't run through the filter of the Word of God unless you know this Word, unless we are actively digging in and biting into it, the amazing truth that God has for us. Lastly, just on this point, for some of us, it's not just what arrives at our doorstep, but it's the doors that we actually choose to go through. And it's the environments that we choose to go into, or the people that we actually choose to do life with, that reinforce bad thought life, that reinforce a bad emotional life and lead us to actually make bad decisions in our life. And again, it needs to be that filter. Should I be in this space? And again, balancing that with God has said that we're called to be in the world. We're not called to be separate. We're called to be in, but we're called to be separate and holy in how we behave and how we perceive, but we're still called to be in. Do you hear that balance? But we have to have a guard up against our heart. Think about this for a second. The issue that you are facing right now could, and I don't know everyone's situation, but the issue that you're facing right now could be resolved by not allowing something in or removing someone from your life. It could be the thing that resolves that issue. It could be the thing that actually brings peace to your heart and to your life. And obviously with a statement like that, there's a balance. But do you hear my heart in that? If something needs to be removed and it's within your power and it matches up with the Word of God, cut that thing off, Jesus says. Cut it off. Let it not be in your heart, in your life. Everyone say number two. So we first need to guard what comes in, but secondly, we need to remove what's crept in. This is also how we guard our hearts. We need to remove what has crept in. If you watch this show, not only do they kind of talk to people as they're landing and arriving on planes, but they take you behind the scenes to the parcel distribution center as parcels are coming into Australia. And it's funny when you watch this show, they actually say, oh, see this here. 2 years ago, something like this would have entered our country. This substance, this thing that would destroy people in our community. But we now have new technologies that can pick up this form of trying to get substances into our country and into our nation. And so the border force people have actually learned to recognize that things do creep in, but they've put things in place to make sure that those things don't creep in. And here's the revelation. Though we will wage a good warfare and though we will actually fight the good fight, sometimes things are going to creep in. And they're actually going to take residence in our heart. And to be honest, it's probably the enemy's number one way that he does it. He does it subtly behind our back without us actually realizing while we're distracted through a situation or a circumstance. He's not your friend. I'm telling you right now, he's not your friend. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes, yes, there's that overt attack, but more often than not, it's the sneaky things. It's actually more often not deception. That was the first thing we see with the devil. He actually didn't come with a full-on lie to Adam and Eve. It was deception. A lie has no truth in it. But deception is a half-truth. It's half-truth, half-lie. And anything that is not a half-lie, it's going to lead us to destruction. He says, what, did God really say that? Oh, you surely won't die. And it was this way of conniving and bringing deception into Adam and Eve. And so we need to be aware of that sometimes things are going to creep in and we actually need to allow them to be removed as we begin to ask God and discern, hey, how's my thought life going? Okay, I reacted like this week emotionally. Why? What's happening? What's resting in my heart? Why do I keep making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision? And you might be totally unawares to it, but the Holy Spirit can reveal that maybe there's something going on behind the scenes that you actually haven't been able to discern yet. And don't feel immature and don't feel condemned by that. I'm up here standing here tonight that like literally a month ago, I was delivered. Yes, pastors carry things and strongholds in their life. I was literally delivered of something that I had no idea was there. And it was this grace revelation through God actually revealing it to me and actually seeking counsel. And it was like, wow, I'd lived 15 years of my life not knowing that that was there. Actively loving God, serving people. There's not been one day in my life that I've not been in the house of God. Yet stuff can still creep into our hearts because he's not passive. He's active in wanting to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. I'm talking about things like jealousy, unforgiveness, bitterness, disappointment, envy, and resentment, faithlessness, maybe even hopelessness. Who knows that those things don't all start huge and massive? They start subtly. That in one season or in one moment, we're like, oh, I was a bit bitter about that. And it rests and it stays. And it's like a mold. And if it's left there, it continues to grow and fester and grow into this thing that before we know it, we actually don't know that it's even been there, but it just becomes a part of how we function. It becomes about how we see and perceive. But we need to watch those things and remove those things from our hearts. Because again, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. Again, the grace of God is all over this because as we are quick to identify and quick to ask God to remove these things, the Holy Spirit moves instantly. And he's actually the one that does heart surgery on us. He's the one that heals. He's the one that restores. And so don't feel like tonight that you have to fight this battle on your own. It's actually a battle that God wants to win for you. But the moment that you begin to ask and say, God, like, is there something in my heart? Or as you begin to notice trends and begin to say, hey, I'm responding like this when this happens, or I'm actually thinking about this when I'm in this environment, then that's the moment to sit, think, slow down, actually take a day off and think and ask God, what's happening in my heart? Because he wants us to have whole hearts because everything that we do flows from it. If the band could come up tonight, here's my last point this evening. We've got to guard what comes in and we've got to remove what's crept in. And lastly, we've got to watch what's coming out. We've got to watch what's coming out. You know, guarding your heart is not just about watching what comes in, removing what's crept in, but it's also being diligent to watch what comes out. And really, this is actually how you discern what's in here. Because that verse that we read before, verse 34, says this, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. And this is actually the practical way that we can actually be quick to recognize, why did I say that to that person? You know, you said something and you're just like, that wasn't me. Lean into that thought. It's not you. That's not the mind of Christ. That's not what Christ has died and risen for. It isn't you. It is you in the flesh, but you're redeemed. You have Jesus on the inside of you. Don't attach that to your identity. It's not you. It's the kingdom of darkness that God's sanctifying, that God is actually bringing revelation and constant growth in our hearts and in our life. Be quick to go, that wasn't me. Yes, it wasn't. It wasn't you. It's not from a place of where God actually wants you to be. Yes, you spoke it, but that's okay. Be quick to recognize that God can heal that, that God can actually destroy that and remove that from your heart and remove that from your life. It's the things that are stored up that we actually don't know that we've actually been making deposits into that. And before we know it, it's that moment where we're like, oh, I can't believe I just said that. You know, it's the high pressure moments. It's the high stress moments. It's the times where we're stressed about finances, stressed about relationships, all the things, and we act out and we're like, why did I do that? Be quick to recognize that, because it's actually revealing to you that there's something deep in your heart that you may or not have realized has actually been sitting there for a while. And God wants to redeem that. God wants to heal that heart. I don't believe the lie that our hearts are going to be forever sick. I believe we can grow up into the full maturity of Christ, Ephesians 4 says. That's the purpose of a fivefold church, that we would grow up into the fullness of Christ, that the body of God would be full of mature people. I don't think that means we have an immature heart. I think that means we have a mature heart, a heart of Christ. But it takes the journey, it takes the discovery of asking, discerning, and being quick to watch what also comes out of our mouths. And this is where this message has come from. A year and a bit ago, we planted our church, and I just noticed that there was just faithlessness coming out of my mouth. I just noticed that I just wasn't speaking faith. I'm not talking about the Pentecostal 1-2-step kind of faith. You know, like, I've always got to be in faith, always got to, and you know where I'm at tonight. You understand my heart. It was just that I was low. I was just not declaring God's goodness. I wasn't believing in the power of God. I wasn't believing that God could do something. And as I went deep into that journey, I'd realized that there was actually this seed of bitterness in my heart, that I was bitter about a few seasons that I've been through in my journey. And to be honest, now in hindsight, God had allowed that stuff to happen to bring a great healing in my heart, to reveal to me, don't ever let that come in again. It actually kind of started in my youth ministry days, where I was just disappointed and bitter about not seeing what I really wanted to see. But in hindsight, I wasn't on the treadmill of prayer. I wasn't on the treadmill of reading my Bible enough as what I should. And that's why we didn't see what we needed to see. And I was actually bitter towards God. And in a moment of high stress, when you're planting a church and you're moving your family and you're living in a new house and you're putting all on the line, in a moment of high stress, in a moment of high emotion, in a moment where we've made some pretty hectic choices and decisions, I realized that what was really deep down on the inside of my heart, that was there, and it needed to be revealed and it needed to be dealt with. And praise God that he revealed it. Praise God that I was quick to hear that, whoa, what's that? That's not me. That's not God's heart for me. That's not God's will for me. You know, if you ever think, feel, or say something that doesn't match up with the character and nature of God, be quick to hear that. And again, don't hear condemnation. Hear restoration, hear revival, hear renewal, and be quick. Don't just pass it off. I was just joking. No. Rest in it. Where's that thought? Where's that desire? Where's that emotion coming from? Because if it is not love, if it is not joy, if it is not peace, if it is not patience, if it is not kindness, if it is not goodness, gentleness, and self-control, then it's another spirit. It's another spirit. And it's time for freedom, and it's time for wholeness, because Jesus died for it. Jesus has redeemed. Jesus has left the cross. He's left the grave, not to leave us in brokenness, but to bring us into freedom in Jesus' name. We need to be a people who guard what comes in actively, have that filter. We need to be people who are quick to remove what's crept in by discerning what comes out of our life. And not even just our mouths. Yes, our mouths, that verse literally says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, but choices are made from what the heart is full of. And emotions come out from what the heart is full of as well. Be quick to sit and go, hey, God, why did I choose that? Why did I say that? Why did I allow myself to drift off into that thought life? And I'm telling you, the moment that you do that is the moment that God says, isn't he so good? Full in love, but full in conviction, says that event, that trauma, that untruth of who I am and of the word of God, that needs to be dealt with and realized. And this isn't in my notes tonight. This is what I prepared, but just tonight, as God has been ministering, both in the prayer meeting this evening, it was so evident, and through worship tonight, it was so evident that God wanted to do a work of freedom tonight. But also, I just want just really sense that tonight, and this isn't kind of normally my natural bent, but I just want to obey the Spirit of God. I just want to put the devil on notice tonight and just realize that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities and things in the unseen realm. And tonight, I want to put them on watch, put them on notice this evening. And again, like, who am I? I'm someone who carries the name of Jesus in my life. That's the authority. And you can have that too. In fact, you have that. If you know Jesus, you have that. You carry that authority. And for some of us, there actually might even be a veil. And we might not even realize that. I didn't for years. Literally, and as I look back on my life, I'm like, wow, I responded like that because of that, because of that, because of that, because of that. And realizing that I've been carrying this sense of bitterness for way too long. And I'm not sure what it is for you tonight, but here's what I know. I know all of us need healing in this place tonight, in this era. We all do. We all need healing in our thoughts. We all need healing in our emotions. We all need healing in the choices we make. Because yes, the heart is deceitful. Yes, it is sick, but it can be healed. It can be restored as we become a people who actively guard our hearts. And remember, it's not just us, but the Holy Spirit there is there to help us guard. And he's actually there.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.